Again, it is great to be here. Boker Tov. I did not say broken toe, I said good morning in Hebrew. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. And before we continue, I just want to share a little comical joke. It says, Harry Levy woke up late for a job interview. He quickly took a shower, ate breakfast, got into his car. When he finally arrived, he couldn't find any parking places. He looked and looked, but bupkis, no spaces. Finally, he prayed to God. God, if you find me a parking space, I'll go to synagogue every Saturday morning, and I will never lie again. 2 minutes later, he found a parking spot out of the blue and said, never mind, God, I found one. You know, if you know anything about, if you have any Jewish friends, you can appreciate that. But, you know, I think about how important it is to hear the word of God. You know, a lot of people joke about it. They only go to God when something terrible is happening. But obviously we know different. It's the word of God that is alive to us. And for us that have put our trust and faith in the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, it's changed our lives. Many of you may know this is what is called a shofar. And during this month of Elul right now, it's a month of preparation for our Jewish friends. Every day in the synagogue, they will blow this. And through the whole period between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the High Holy Days, they'll play this over 100 times. And by God's grace, Brother Hoover and I will have a chance to go to the synagogue this next Shabbat on Saturday, which is Slichot. And Slichot is a day where the Jewish people, they're constantly begging God to forgive them and for mercy. This whole month, even though Rosh Hashanah doesn't even start from a week until a week from tomorrow, Monday. Okay? And so if you have any Jewish friends or loved ones or even family members that you send cards to, Rosh Hashanah cards, we have some great tracts on the back, and I just want to encourage you to get those tracts, and you can put them in your Rosh Hashanah card if you have any Jewish friends you want to send that to. That would be wonderful, okay? But let's read in the scriptures. In John chapter 5, and in John chapter 5, I just want to read a few verses. In John chapter 5, verse 22, through 24. Again, John chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God of Israel, for your mercy and grace on us. And Father, we thank you that you did not stop with just the Jewish people, but you save us, Gentile people. And we thank you that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we praise you again for the opportunity to look into your word. Let it change us and mold us. And Father, I pray it won't be my words, but yours this morning. And may you be lifted up and glorified. And Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem this morning. Lord, we're commanded to pray. And Lord, we pray for mercy. We pray, Lord, you lift the veils from the Jewish people's eyes and help them see the truth that you are the Messiah, because Lord, we know without you there is no hope. And Father, again, thank you for this time that we could be here at Worth. Bless this conference, bless the speakers, bless everything, Father, that you may be glorified. If there's unsaved people here today, that they would come to know Messiah. Lord, we love you and praise you, and just be with us in these next few minutes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we know it is the Feast of Trumpets. That's probably why the Jewish people blow the shofar. But one of the main things in Rosh Hashanah is that they make a lot of Genesis 22. And if you go to Genesis 22 for a second. Okay, and in Genesis 22, of course, you know that Abraham was tested by God and offered up his son. Okay? Well, was going to offer up his son. And it says in verse 2 of Genesis 22, it says, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Of course, that's where the temple was built. We also know that, according to the Bible, this is the first time love is even mentioned. Okay, and the Jewish people, this is a very important passage that all throughout the High Holy Days, they keep on reiterating to Genesis 22. And how the Jewish people throughout history have sacrificed, and the best thing a Jewish person can do, and the highest honor is die for the cause of being a Jewish person. And we don't hear about that a lot, but sacrificing is very important. And Jewish people all throughout history, they have been persecuted time and time again. And many of you know this, and I've spoken here before, and you know that the Jewish people have suffered. The Bible said if they would not keep the Torah, if they would not keep the law, blessing if they obey, curse if they don't obey. Unfortunately, a lot of churches teach a lot of unbiblical things. They want to apply all the blessings to the church in the Old Testament and all the cursings. They still belong to the Jewish people. But that can't be. Okay? Amen? But the church and Israel are two separate things. And the Jewish people have been blinded. I think of that verse, and let me read it to you. It's in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 through 16. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ, in the Messiah. But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." You know, when their heart is changed. The nation of Israel was blinded, but individual Jews can come to know their Messiah. Amen? We're seeing that in New York. Jewish people are coming to know Messiah. All over the world, Jewish people are coming to know their Messiah. I'm sure Jewish people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are coming to know their Messiah. And praise the Lord for you folks holding the ropes here, praying for Joy and I. Because now our ministry is taking a little bit of a different change. Now we're going to be church planting in the Jewish neighborhood where we've been reaching Jewish people for all these years. Because we got to the field in 2000. And now we believe the Lord would have us plant a church reaching, as Ephesians 2 says, the Jew and the Gentile, because they're both one. Amen? That's God's plan. You know, and I'm not saying only go to the Jew. No, the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's what the Apostle Paul said, as his custom was. And think about it. Jesus, all his life, he worked in Jewish missions. Amen. Jesus even told the Samaritan woman. He said, salvation is of the Jews. So we owe a great debt to the Jewish people. And what better way we can pay it if we witness to them? Amen. And obviously here at this church, you believe that because you support Joy and I. So praise the Lord for that. But anyways, to get back to Abraham, this is just so, so important to the Jewish people. And the whole idea that they'll sacrifice their lives, you know, during the Holocaust and different things, you know, when Jewish people would not deny, and on their dying breath, they would cry out the Shema, and that's Hear, O Israel. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And this they would die for. And so often, you know, so often a lot of people say, you know, but what was their cause? You know, why did these things happen? And again, you know, we can see through Scripture why these things befell the Jewish people. But that's commendable that they'll sacrifice their lives. What about us? Some of the missionaries here from Peru, Brazil, okay, Mexico, Joy and I in New York, you know, wherever you have missionaries. I mean, they're sacrificed, but you folks make a sacrifice too, amen? You guys sacrifice too. You're holding the ropes. You know, that's great you guys give us financial help, but if we don't have your prayers, folks, we need your prayers. It is so important. You know, that's why as Independent Baptists, we go around to all these churches because we need this prayer support, amen? I mean, it has to be. And again, the conference, holding the ropes. We have to hold the ropes. You have to hold the ropes. You guys pray and give to us. We pray for you folks in New York City. And even when we're here in the church, we give too. I mean, it goes both ways, amen? We're in this together. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, and the Jewish people during this time, you know, during, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they're to examine themselves. And what about us? We need to examine ourselves. Just a few verses about examine in Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try the reins of my heart. You know, examine. You know, sometimes we have to examine ourselves. What are we doing for the cause of the Lord? Are we giving? Are we passing out tracts? Again, I was the product of missions. Someone on the street in New York City handed me a gospel tract. I'll tell you, I grew up in Michigan my whole life as a Catholic. I never had anybody hand me a gospel tract or witness to me, except for once I got into college, okay? And they gave me a Bible, but at that time, I didn't think much of it. But when I moved to New York City, the Lord used that to really show me my emptiness. And a lady handed me a gospel tract. I went out to the church that night and got gloriously saved. My life has changed ever since. He called me into ministry. So, I mean, even passing out that simple tract, you know, it wasn't that tract that saved me that day, but that night I saw the address, I went out to the church, and I got gloriously saved, you know? And that's what it's about. What is our part? Examine. And then we know in the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of that cup. We know that it examine, you know, there's sin in your life. I mean, we constantly got to be examining ourselves. You know, what are we doing? Are we living this book? Okay? The Jewish people constantly were chastised by God because they did not live and obey this book. And yes, God says to us to go. That means every one of us, all of us are ambassadors. And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen? Our messages are not popular. I'll tell you, going to the Jewish people, it's not a popular thing. They don't want to hear. They don't believe a missionary has anything to offer them. They say, listen, your people were running around with no clothes on, eating acorns, while our people were serving the one true God. They really don't think we have anything to offer. When they think of missionary, especially going to the Jewish people, they're appalled. They're like, what are we? Are we people in Africa or people who are uncultured and eating all sorts of crazy things? I'll tell you one thing, though. After your slides, Brother Chris, when I saw them eating pygmies, I said, Lord, thank you for calling me to the Jewish people because they live in big cities. They don't eat crazy food with the head still on them or whatever, you know. Or like in the Philippines, they eat this thing called balut. And I always joke with my Filipino friends, you know, it's like a live or like a dead chicken or something. But anyways, it's disgusting. But thank the Lord for kosher food and going to people who keep kosher, you know, because I just could not deal with that kind of food. But anyways, we know from the Bible, Leviticus 23, talking about this Feast of Trumpets, okay, blowing the trumpet. Okay, the Jewish people also know as this as Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment. They also know Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. Also, traditionally, Rosh Hashanah marks the beginning of the world, okay? But it's a day, they believe it as the Day of Judgment, where God judged all mankind, Jew and Gentile. And, you know, the Jewish people, during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, three books are open. The book of the righteous, the book of the not so good, not so righteous, and then the book of the wicked, okay? And if you're in that middle book where you're not so good, you're not so bad, you have the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to make things right. But it's all you doing it. What you can do, more works you can do, money or charity you give. I remember walking down the streets of New York City, and I remember coming across a poster, and it says, have your sins for the next 50 years forgiven. Give so much money, and this rabbi will go say prayers for you in Jerusalem. I was like, how is that different than what the Catholics did with indulgences? You know, it's just so sad. And aren't you glad if you're here tonight, this morning, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Isn't that wonderful? You know, our Jewish friends can't say that. They're just hoping through their good works. I'll tell you, it's commendable, our Jewish friends. I'll tell you, talking to them and being with them so often, I'll tell you, they try so hard to please people and to do good works. And so, you know, but it's not going to get them to heaven. And unless we go to them and share with them the truth of the word, which they refuse to have. But anyways, if we look... to get to the text in John 5, just to go there for a few minutes, it says in John 5, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, this is an unknown feast, but I kind of liken it to Rosh Hashanah, only for the fact that it talks so much about allusions and things that kind of refer to Rosh Hashanah, especially about where it says that for the Father, it says in verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, in the Old Testament, only God is judge. You know, just like in the New Testament, Jesus is likened to the rock. Well, only God is the rock. Amen? So Jesus and God have to be one and the same. And so many times the Jewish people were going to persecute him and stone him because he made himself equal with God, because he said he was God's son. And look in verse 17, it says, and Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father. You can't deny it. He believed that God was his Father. He knew that. He was God in the flesh. God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You know? And you can't evade that. It's so clear. But here we see that there was a man there, okay? And it says there was at Jerusalem at the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. You know, this is likened to Israel in the wilderness all those years, 38 years, because they disobeyed and they didn't believe God and they had the evil report. You know, and this is kind of this man, you know, you can kind of look at him as a symbol of Israel, how time and time again, they just did not have the faith and unbelief. And a lot of times when we're trying to reach people, especially people who are not of our culture, and we try to reach out globally or we try to have a worldview, okay, a lot of times we just stick with people of our own. But folks all over our nation and all over the world, we need to reach people who are not like us, you know. I mean, the Bible says all nations, we're to go to ethnos, we're to go to all nations and people. We cannot be prejudiced or hold grudges. No, we're to go to all people. And anyways, it says in verse 5, and a certain man there had infirmity 38 years. Then Jesus saw him lie and and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." You know, you would think this man would be all excited. "Yeah, you're going to heal me." But that wasn't the case. He just seemed a little down, you know. And our Jewish friends, it's the same way. So many times when I'm witnessing to the Jewish people, they say, "Oh, we're the chosen people. I wish he would choose someone else. Look at how we suffered." Time and time again, I have one Jewish friend, she's from Hungary, okay? She survived the Holocaust. And she always says, "Jesus can't be the Messiah. There's no peace in the world." I said, "Why should you have peace if you've rejected your Messiah?" I said, time and time again, I said, the Jewish people, not too long ago, they observed Tisha B'Av. And for you that don't know what that is, that's the morning of destruction of both their temples and other calamities that have happened to the Jewish people over the centuries, like the Spanish Inquisition happened on Tisha B'Av, the beginning of World War II happened on Tisha B'Av, and all sorts of other calamities and stuff. But the two major ones, the destruction by the Babylonians, okay, and also the Romans in 70 AD. Now, the rabbis say the first temple was destroyed because of the Jewish people's turning from the law, their idolatry, murder, not keeping the Sabbath, their sabbatical year, or the year of Jubilee. They just failed miserably. But now, the second temple in 70 AD, the rabbis say it's because of Jews' hatred for other Jews. And what Jew came? The Messiah. And when he came, he was despised. His own received him not. And they treat them. And the main cause, they say, of the temple in 70 AD was because of Jews' hatred for other Jews. And Jesus said how he would have longed to gather Israel, but they just said no, and they would persecute. He said, "If you only would have known the time of my visitation." And as a nation, they were spiritually blinded. But because of that, you and I are able to hear the gospel. The Jewish people were supposed to be doing what we're doing, reaching the world. The Jewish people should be in New York reaching the world, you know. In Peru, in Brazil, the Jewish people were supposed to be doing. And in the future, we know they will. But they're going to be going through a terrible time of tribulation. The Jewish people, I mean, there's a Holocaust coming that will look nothing like what has happened. And, you know, I think of these books that are open, you know, during the High Holy Days, which they believe, and their good deeds and on these scales weighing. And really, you know what? Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's not about going to heaven. The Jewish people are not looking. They're concerned with Olam Hazeh. That means this world, not Olam Haba, the world to come, okay? But we believe, we trust in Jesus. We're in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'll be in heaven one day. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. And the Jewish people kind of think the same thing. But they're not worried so much about what's happening after they die. No. What are we doing here? That's commendable. What are we as born-again Christians? What are we doing while we're here? You know, we can ask ourselves and look. But here we see what is going to happen. It says in verse 11 of Revelation 20, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on, whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, which the Jewish people hope by doing good works and mitzvahs, commandments, that they're going to be written the Sefer Chaim, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works, their mitzvahs. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered, and the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the Sefer Chaim, or the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, hell is real. Fire is real. And our Jewish friends, they're only really concerned about being written to the book of life so they can have another year of goodness. You know, because the Jewish people believe on that day, you know, God inscribed, like, if you're really good and you're written in the book of life, you're written on that day of Rosh Hashanah for a prosperous year. On that day, God decides who's going to be poor, who's going to be rich, who will have prosperity and all these other things, you know, and who will not, what countries will war, which countries will have peace. You know, because God concerns himself with all people. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. There is a day of judgment, and God sent the Messiah, and only by Messiah, you know, are people going to be righteously judged. And to get back to go back to John chapter 5, and it said that man, it said he knew that he had now been a long time in that case, and wilt thou be made whole? And again, the impotent man, it said he answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." In verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the selfsame day was the Sabbath. Uh-oh. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." And he answered them, "And he made me whole." The same said unto him, "Take up thy bed and walk." You know, our Jewish friends, they have over 39 categories of what they cannot do on the Sabbath, okay, or on Saturday, okay? They have very strict rules. Now, many of the other Jewish people that go to, like, say, Reform or Conservative, not Orthodox, they can drive on the Sabbath, they can go out to restaurants or do other things. But the Orthodox Jews, they will absolutely not do it. And of course, Jesus, and in his days, they were Orthodox Jews. Okay, and they were they had already tied on the people all these rules and regulations and made it more of a grievance than it was even true faith. They had religion. Religion was always popular in Israel, but how often through all the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, they always said, "Yeah, you're religious, but you don't have God." We can be religious all we want. Yesterday, me and Brother Dean were out knocking on doors, and we met a guy. And he, you know, we just started talking to him. And as soon as I had asked him, you know, "If you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" And he seemed really perturbed, like, you know, like, I go to a Baptist church or whatever. You know, it was like, it's not about going to church. It's not about being Baptist. There's plenty of Baptists in churches that don't know the Lord. Amen? There are so many people that just come and play religion. I mean, people are religious all over. Even in the Bible, people were religious. You know? And it goes on to say in verse 12, "Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?" Now they really, this is like official persecution of Jesus. "And he that was healed was not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." So obviously this man, whether or not you believe he accepted Jesus or not, it doesn't really seem like it, you know, in the sense that Jesus said, "Listen, sin no more," you know. Other times where it says that Jesus forgave the sin and they were happy and rejoicing. We don't know this here. But you know, it's so available to our Jewish friends, the belief in Messiah, all over. There's witnesses. But yet our Jewish friends continue just to not believe. You know, and we continually go to them. Why? Because the scripture says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's why we go. And yes, again, because Jewish people are being saved and coming to know the Lord. And here this man, he was by the pool. He was waiting for the stirring of the waters. And again, water has a very important part in the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, okay? Because there's a part on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it's called Tashlik. And basically what it means is I will cast. And it's from Micah 7, 19. They basically take breadcrumbs and go down to a river, usually where there's fish or whatever, and they put those breadcrumbs there into the to the lake or to the river. You see it all over New York City. I mean, wherever there's a pond or a lake. And it's we're casting their sins upon the water, because it's based on this verse in Micah 7:19. It says, "He will subdue their iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea." And so this is recited, again, near a stream, fish. And it's the whole idea of a fish, you know, how a fish gets caught in a net, you know, how people are caught in sin and all sorts of wickedness and evil. And, you know, that's why you guys send out missionaries. Because people are caught in the net of sin. And the only way to redeem them and bring freedom to them is by the Messiah of Israel, by Jesus. And he's the only one who's going to be able to free them. And here they're caught. And you know, our Jewish friends, they really have an idea during the high holy days of sin, of transgression, of wronging their neighbor. But it's really just during this time. I remember when I was sitting in Hebrew class there, and I remember there was another guy who was Christian in the class, and he had asked our Hebrew teacher about, well, what do they do with sin? And she says, oh, we deal with that on Yom Kippur. It has nothing to do with that. Right now we're talking about Hanukkah. You know, because to them, the only time when it comes up, really, the sin issue is during Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the month of Elul, if they're really Orthodox, okay? But, I mean, obviously the Jewish people do not follow the Bible as we do. Like, for example, the 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur, okay? The Day of Atonement. We know that the high priest would go with the animal's blood and apply it. And without the shedding of blood, there's no atonement. There's no covering for the sin. And this was to go on every year, just to show that it was just temporary until the Messiah would come, amen? But when their temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they had to say, okay, what's going on now? And that's where Judaism of today started, was after 70 AD. Because they all of a sudden said, there's no more temple. So they had to really concoct their own religion. And that's what kind of Judaism we have today, rabbinic Judaism. It's not of this Bible. That's like the well-meaning Christian lady. She was so excited. It was Yom Kippur. She was invited with her friend, I believe, to a synagogue. And she says, oh man, I can't wait, because they're going to be sacrificing all the animals and everything like that. It's just going to be amazing, you know. And so she goes into this synagogue, and she's like, asked the rabbi after the service, she goes, where are all the animals? Where's the sacrifices going to take place? And they looked at her like, you know, sacrifices? How appalling. You know, they would, no, you can't have any sacrifice. Even though our religious Orthodox Jewish friends, in all their prayers, daily prayers, no matter what Jewish holiday, they are praying that the temple will be rebuilt. And of course it will. And there will be sacrifices again. We know that according to the Bible. But to the average Jewish person, 99% of our Jewish friends, they're appalled at that idea. Blood? No. And of course, that's what people always accuse us as Bible believers about, the blood, amen? That's where they attack us. But without it, we have no forgiveness. We have no salvation, redemption, amen? And that's the message we have for the nations. You know, we have something to give to the people. But unfortunately, the rabbis and Judaism has nothing to offer. But again, our Jewish friends are very content. They're very happy being Jewish. Again, they don't believe we have anything to offer. And that's why I think Paul said we're to provoke them to jealousy. Amen? It says for the gospel's sake, they're our enemies. You know? Because they're not going to be hospitable to us. And let's face it, look at what the church has done. Think about Pope Urban II when he said, kill a Jew, save your soul, you'll go straight to heaven, during the Crusades. Martin Luther, he said, burn their synagogues, don't allow the rabbis to teach, burn their homes. You know, he said all sorts of things. Protestants, Catholics, no matter what. Praise the Lord, I've never heard of anything about the Baptists doing anything against the Jewish people. Praise the Lord. The only thing that we do is maybe not reach out to them, amen, in our churches. But we need to go. I think of all the Jewish people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They need to hear. That's why I want to encourage you. Go to a synagogue. See, go. And you'll see the missing element, the Messiah. You want to get a burden, you go. I'll tell you, the Jewish people will be so humble and so gracious that you've come. They'll be shocked. I've seen Jewish people cry. When they've even come to our church, they see how we as a church love Israel and we love the Jewish people. They just start crying. They can't imagine. They're like, I never knew there were people like you that existed. My Jewish friends say all the time, why aren't there more like you? Do all Baptists have this belief and stuff? I said, well, I can't speak for other people, but for our church and for us, yes. You know? But isn't that wonderful? It's just, we just got to take that extra step. But are we willing? Are you willing to hold the ropes and pray for us? Pray for the Garner family in Peru. Pray for the Smiths in Brazil. Pray for Kelly, Mexico, Bible translation. We need people to hold the ropes. And lastly, again, we come to the verse, and it says in verse 26 of chapter 5, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given unto him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Jewish people would have known that was a messianic title, that the Messiah would come for all nations, and he would do all sorts of great things, healings and everything else, Isaiah 35 in different places. They should have known this. If they would have known the law, they would have known. And then it says, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the grave shall hear the voice, and some shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then he talks about the witnesses from John the Baptist, the scriptures, Moses, and all these witnesses that the Jewish people should have recognized. And all through the New Testament, it tells us as Christians what we need to recognize to reach the nations, go out and preach the gospel to every creature, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But we still, sometimes we don't understand that. But we need to go. We need to go. And lastly, it says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you should have believed me, for he wrote of me. Genesis 22, Deuteronomy 18, many places in the Torah, in the five books of Moses, Moses spoke of Jesus. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And then Paul said to his people, how shall they hear without a preacher? How will the Jewish people hear without someone to go? And so we ask you, pray for us. Take our prayer card. Pray for us as we reach the Jew first and also the Greek in Queens, New York, in Forest Hills, because the Jewish people desperately need the Messiah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful day. Lord, we just ask that you will just take these words and just write them upon our hearts. And Father, just give us all a greater burden, a greater love to reach the Jew first and also the Greek. And Father, just to hold the ropes as we pray for those missionaries that they take the gospel around the world. Because, Lord, there's a world dying and going to hell. And we need to pray that you will raise up more laborers and missionaries all over this land and throughout all the world. And we thank you for the other countries that are doing the same thing and following the Great Commission. We praise you for that. And again, thank you for this conference and bless the rest of this day. We pray this in the God of Israel's name and his blessed Messiah, the Redeemer of all mankind, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.